Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God that we consider, meditate, learn from this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, beginning in chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. You may have realized, I don't know, maybe you didn't realize it, but last year we were going through primarily the Gospel of Matthew. That was the pericope for last year. And this year, then, we'll be mostly going through Mark with a few selections from John. So we begin right away at the beginning of the year here with Mark chapter 1 and the baptism of Jesus. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him, and they were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and it was good. Light is indeed a very good gift. How much fuller, how much richer our lives in this world is with it. We probably could get along without it. Some people have to, unfortunately. But we are very thankful and appreciative that the Lord created it and gave us the ability to see and appreciate it. Through his word, he created light. And through his word, he sent John. And through his word, he gave baptism. By the power of his word, he forgives sins through that baptism. Remember what Martin Luther wrote about baptism. How can water do such great things? The water doesn't actually do anything by itself, but the power is in God's word, which is in and with the water, and in faith, which trusts this word of God in the water. Without the word of God, it is just plain water, and there is no baptism. With the word of God, it really is baptism that is a gracious water of life and washing of rebirth through the Holy Spirit. Just as St. Paul says in the third chapter of Titus, according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. By the power of his word, he gave us light in creation, and by the power of his word, he gives us spiritual light through baptism, which is the greater gift. The people of John's day certainly recognized what a wonderful and powerful gift baptism was. Our text tells us that all of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him, that is John, and they were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Obviously, Mark is exaggerating a bit when he says all. Certainly, it wasn't every single person living in Judea and Jerusalem that went out to John the Baptist, but great sections of them, great thousands of them did go out, so that it probably appeared to anyone was there, that all the country was there. So many people came to be baptized. When you stop to think about it, that is an extraordinary thing. That so many people went out at the preaching of John to hear him and to be baptized by him. Because what was John preaching? He was preaching sin. He was telling people what terrible sinners they are. If there's one sure way to offend people, it's to tell them about their sin. I had to preach at a wedding, and And before the wedding, the father of the bride came to me and said, I just want to make sure you're not going to preach anything offensive. How do you respond to that? He said, well, I'm going to be talking about sin and forgiveness and grace. A lot of people are going to be offended when I talk about sin. And sure enough, they were. That's what happens when you preach about sin. And it's the same for us. Even though you come often and hear that you're sinners, and even though we begin every Sunday confessing that, yes, we are sinners, in a general way, it's easy to say that without thinking about specifics. But most of us, when confronted with our specific shortcomings and failures, don't like it very much. I tell you, you need to be better at leading your family in devotion. If I tell you, you need to be better at listening to your wife, or respecting your husband, or doing what your parents say, or supporting the church, or any other number of sins and shortcomings that we have, if we are confronted by them specifically, it makes us angry. I'm no different. People tell me how I messed up, and I get angry as well. And so the fact that so many people gladly came out to hear how they were sinners is a miracle. And John was preaching specific sins. Well, we know that from the gospel readings, that he confronted people. He said to the soldiers, this is what you're doing wrong. He said to the Jewish leaders, this is what you're doing wrong. We have some specific examples of how he did that. And we have some specific examples of how some did get very angry and offended, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when he confronted them with their sin. But even more than that, John was not only preaching their sin, he was preaching that they should be baptized. And when you understand what baptism was in first century Judea, namely, it was a ritual that Gentiles went through when they wanted to become a member of the Jewish nation. It was a ritual for proselytes. And so for John to preach that they needed, that the Jewish people needed to be baptized for their sins, was not only reminding them of their sins, but was telling them they're no better than the Gentiles. It was telling them that they were not the children of God, that they were not true Jews. It was telling them they needed to be born again through the power of God's word and faith, in order to be true sons of Abraham. They would have understood that implicitly, immediately, when John talked about being baptized. Imagine a first century Jew admitting that he was no better than a Gentile, no better than a Samaritan. It is indeed a miracle that all of Judea and Jerusalem came out to listen and to be baptized. A miracle that is possible only through the power of God's word. The same power that created the heavens and the earth, which is clearly at work here in the hearts of these people, to turn their hearts to repentance. Even as it was prophesied that on the coming of John, what would he do? He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. In other words, he would remind them of their sin. How they had failed to be good fathers, how they had failed to be good children, and turn their hearts in repentance. The word of God was at work to bring out through the preaching of that word all Judea and Jerusalem, and it was good. What a wonderful gift it is from the Lord that we have his word to remind us of our sin. And to remind us of the forgiveness of our sins. To remind us it's okay to admit our failures. It's okay to admit how sinful we are. We don't have to get angry. because through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. But more, of course, than the forgiveness of sins is given through baptism, as wonderful a gift as that is, as we talked about in the children's sermon, there are other gifts which God gives us through baptism, and one of those is the Holy Spirit. As John prophesied, the one who is greater than he, Jesus, who was coming after him, would baptize not only with water, but also with the Holy Spirit. And this proclamation of John wasn't to deny the fact that Jesus would use water in his baptism, nor was it to deny the fact that Jesus' baptism would, like John's, give the forgiveness of sins, but to point out how it was greater than his. Just as Jesus was greater than John, the baptism he brought was greater than John's. John's baptism was indeed a baptism using water and giving the forgiveness of sins, as it had been instructed, as the power and authority had been given to him by the Father. And Jesus's once used water and gave the forgiveness of sin as well, but Jesus' baptism, the baptism that we receive, gave more, namely the Holy Spirit. Some are often confused by this. Why did John not have the Holy Spirit? Did the Old Testament people not have the Holy Spirit, that only now it is given in the baptism of Jesus? And of course, that's not true. There are plenty of biblical passages that show us very clearly that the people of the Old Testament did indeed have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Bible talked about specific outpourings of the Holy Spirit, such as what was given to Moses, what was given to the 70 elders, which was given to Saul, David, Elijah, Elisha, and many others. It also talks in a general way about the Holy Spirit being among the children of Israel, teaching them God's word, teaching them to live lives to God just as he does for us. The difference is not that we have the Holy Spirit and they did not. The difference is that we receive the Holy Spirit through baptism. The Spirit does indeed live in us. And that gift has been given to us, that gift of life, rebirth, as we read in Titus 3:5 when we were reading Luther's explanation of what baptism does. Remember that verse. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Notice what it says, through the washing of regeneration. That is, the washing that doesn't just clean away the outer filth, but that produces a new life within you, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Those two are intricately joined and go together in our baptism. The new life that's created by the power of God's word and the Holy Spirit who lives in us in order to keep that life going, to build it up, to teach us how to live as children of God. And that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to teach us to live as Christians in love for one another and showing God's, Jesus' love in our whole life. What a much better purpose for the Holy Spirit that is than what some think of as the purpose of the Holy Spirit, babbling in tongues or doing great outward miracles. Those things are not his purpose. His purpose is to teach us to live in love towards one another. And it was good. The baptism is good. The gifts that we receive in that baptism, forgiveness of sins, heaven, and the Holy Spirit are good. And so it was that Jesus himself came and was baptized by John in the Jordan, as we read in the Gospel. Of course, at this point, many people ask the question, why? If the purpose of baptism is the forgiveness of sins and Jesus had no sins, then why did he come to be baptized? In fact, it's the first question John asked. That part wasn't in our gospel reading from Mark. Mark doesn't include that detail, but Matthew does. The first thing John says when he sees Jesus is, "Have you come to be baptized by me? Why?" And the scripture gives us a number of different reasons for the baptism of Jesus. One very important one that fits in well with the theme of Epiphany is that it was his public anointing, his public coronation, in a sense. Jesus was the chosen one of the Father, chosen as the one who would come and save us from our sins. And those chosen by God, the Lord lets us know in the Old Testament. Well, next Sunday, the Sunday school kids will have the story of David anointed as king. And they'll see how he was anointed by Samuel in front of all the people so that everyone would know this is the man that God has chosen to be your king. So Jesus' baptism served the same purpose, letting everyone know this is the Messiah. This is the chosen one whom you've been waiting for. Jesus' baptism was different from the baptisms of all the other people who came out, because when it was done, when he walked out of the river, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. The word of the Lord came from heaven, making that announcement, "This is my chosen one." So that's one very important aspect of his baptism. And as I said, it ties in well with the theme of Epiphany. The theme of Epiphany, of course, is that Jesus is manifested, he is displayed, he is shown to us. And in his baptism, that happened. Another important aspect is that he took our place under the law. Remember, he was born under the law in order to redeem those who are under the law. And therefore, because we ought to be baptized and he is taking our place, therefore, he ought to be baptized. In perfect obedience to the Father, he did all things that the Father asks of us as he took our place under the law. A third reason is, as we talked about again with the children, that through baptism we are united with him, as we read in our epistle reading. Being united with him in his baptism and his death, we know that we also will be raised with him. The fourth reason I have, and the one I think is not that the others are wrong or not important, but this is the one that Jesus himself says to John. John says, why are you being baptized? And he says, to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is a good thing. Jesus recognized what an amazing thing baptism was. Jesus knew the gifts that were given in baptism, and he says to John, I want that. When asked what he wanted for Christmas, he didn't say a new toy truck or a new car. Jesus didn't care. He didn't even have, he says at one point, I don't even have a pillow to lay my head on. But that's not what he asks for. He asks to receive baptism because he knew what a precious and wonderful gift it is. He doesn't get overly excited about earthly things, but he gets excited about this gift. Even though he didn't need it, necessarily, from one point of view, you could say, he rejoiced in it. And therefore, it's no wonder that the Father spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. One who knew the true worth of baptism, one who knew the true worth of spiritual things over the earthly, who said, this is good. And rejoice to receive that gift, that same gift that we also have received. And it was good. It is good that the Father created light. It is good that we confess our sins. It is good that he has forgiven us our sins through Jesus Christ and in our baptism. It is good that he fills us with his Holy Spirit so that we might live with him. It is good that he himself was baptized. It is good that God sent his only beloved Son to die for us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.